Sure a joy to get to do what you're made for, which is to worship him. Isn't that delightful? Man. Well, actually, if you open up your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 5, we're going to be there in just a moment. Last weekend, we spent some time, and this will just be the second week in a brief series, on purity. I think the title on your bulletin says it well, the sweet taste of freedom, enjoying mental and sexual purity. Last week, we were in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and Randy Alcorn was down in the north last week working on Proverbs 5 through 7, and this week is able to be in the south worship with us. Let me pray for us, and then we'll dive in. Father, thank you for the banquet of worship. Yes. Oh, Lord, our souls just, oh, man. Thanks for calling us together every week and for these gracious, talented people you have on the platform to take us into your presence. And now, Lord, we pray that you'd continue the worship in our souls, that we'd actually do what we just sang, which is to all that I am is yours. My mind, my eyes, my hands, my mouth, my feet, my body. Lord, set people free. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, minister your word to every soul in this room. Every soul, what you have for them this morning. To honor you and to set them free. And we ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just to be alert, if you have young children, we're going to deal with some delicate issues, so be alert to that so that you and mom and dad can make that choice. Just want you to be tender towards that. Mm. Randy, in 1985, the Lord privileged you with your first book being published. I remember that time. Mm. That was pretty sacred stuff. Mm. Christians in the Wake of the Sexual Revolution, 1985. Obviously, the Lord laid on your heart to address kind of the captivity that the Christian community was getting taken in. Here we are all these years later. What's happened since then?
Well, I would love to say that there's been a great progress, that there's been a lot of repentance, that things have turned around in the church, the body of Christ, that we're no longer being so heavily influenced, and the sexual degeneration of our culture, unfortunately, that's not the case. Things are actually much worse than they were then. I remember when I wrote that book, some of the reviewers said, these things can't possibly be happening among Christians. This was a few years before the Jim Baker, Jimmy Swaggart stuff. And I remember when we were becoming aware of these things, actually in the late 80s, Alan and I both made a list of consequences. And those are in my book, the Purity Principle, and we combined those lists and published them in an article that was in Leadership Journal and later was in the Purity Principle and several other places. And we would count the cost, the consequences of what would happen if we chose to be unfaithful to our wives, what would happen if we became addicted to pornography, all those sorts of things. But just to give you an idea, what I was talking about in that book written 25 years ago, I coined a term called a technological Corinth. Corinth was an immoral city in the first century. In the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians refers to all the immorality in their midst. And that was because you could go out on the streets and there were prostitutes everywhere, 1,000 priestesses of Aphrodite, and there was just a degenerate culture. And so what I said was, the problem with us now is we're living in a technological Corinth. What did I mean by a technological Corinth? Well, it was shortly after the advent of video rental places, and VCRs, where you could rent the VHS or the Beta. Some of you remember Beta. And don't admit that you remember Beta like I do. But anyway, so, you know, you could go, you could rent those things, but you could go and rent a Disney movie, and then you could just throw in an inappropriate movie that you could take and watch in the privacy of your own home instead of going to some porno theater where you might be seen and get caught. Well, that was itself an incredible revolution in terms of making sexual sin, lust, more secretive, easier to get away with in the eyes of men. You never get away with it with God, and ultimately you don't get away with it with people either. But now, fast forward 25 years, some statistics that I was reading yesterday dealing with the problem of what is called sexting. Studies show now that 22% of teen girls and 18% of teen boys have shared nude or semi-nude pictures of themselves, either attached to a text message or by posting online. 33% of young adults aged 20 to 26 have posted or sent nude pictures of themselves. One in three. From phones, from computers. Claudio, one of our elders, a lot of you know Claudio, police officer, who told me this last week that hardly a week goes by where they don't get a call from some distraught parent because pictures of their daughter, nude pictures of their daughter, are being sent all over the place because she posed for her boyfriend or she took the picture herself. Usually it's under pressure from a boy to do it, but this
culture... And those images will never come back.
That's right.
It's just amazing the enemy and what he'll do. And... Randy, would you mention that father that came? I believe it was a mother and a father that came on that kind of issue to you.
Yeah. Well, first of all, we've talked with a lot of really distraught people whose lives have been ruined through the things that have happened. And can there be recovery? Can there be healing? Can God intervene? Absolutely. But we want to guard and protect our family. But there was a man in our church 3 years ago who told me that he was standing next to his son, and his son gets a message, a text message, and it's got the photo in it, and dad is looking over the shoulder, and it's a girl from Barlow High School who he recognizes, and she's naked. Now, the boy said he didn't know what was coming, some guy sent it to him, and maybe he was telling the truth. But whether he knew or not, all it takes is a telephone. Now, if you would have said 25 years ago that in 25 years, most kids would be carrying around a miniature screen that would allow them to access pornography on the internet for all the phones that are accessing the internet, iPhones and other phones, that any phone with internet access, be able to get those things and to be able to be sent images of people that they know at their own school, naked pictures. This is the culture we live in. And I guess the reason we're introducing it this way is just to say we are in a battle big time. Satan goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And folks, I don't know how else to say this except that most Christian homes are losing that battle. And we are losing our daughters and our sons. And it's not just boys that are looking at pornography. Young girls are looking at pornography. And those images, let me tell you, when I was a kid, so we're talking now 40 plus years ago, I discovered a Playboy under my dad's side of the bed. And I would go back to that day after day, and I would look at those pictures. I was just a normal junior high boy. And do you know that to this day, every once in a while, actual images from that Playboy magazine come into my mind, and I find myself fighting, resisting, calling upon the power of Christ, focusing on things of God.
And yeah, I think like last week when we were doing 1 Corinthians 6, some of the things I didn't get to share was that, you know, the statistics show that chemically being exposed to pornography, soft pornography, it's pornography, is more addictive than heroin or cocaine. And what they're saying is that treatment is more difficult because if you're high on crack, eventually we can get that substance out of your body, but you can never get these images out.
So it's a battle, and it's a battle we need to win. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 5. That introduction, I hope, provides the context of seriousness in which a parent, a father, is giving counsel to his son. Now, as you read Proverbs, always remind yourself this could just as easily be a mother talking to her daughter or a father talking to his daughter. So it may seem like women are portrayed as the bad people, the source of temptation. It could just as easily be men. There's lots of bad men around, lots of men who are being seductive. In fact, 51% of girls who have done the sexting thing, the explicit messages, nude photos of themselves say that it was because of pressure from a boy. And by the way, when you talk about actual explicit messages, words that are sexually explicit, the statistics are, of course, way, way higher of people who are participating in this. And if you as a parent wonder, well, do I have a right to interfere? I mean, that's been being kind of nosy. You know what? Your job is to interfere. As a parent, your job is to be nosy. Your job is to know what is going on in the life of your child and protect them just as really as if you were standing next to a freeway and you would feel an obligation to say to your child, stay off that freeway, put your arms around them, yank them away from that freeway, intervene. That's your responsibility as a parent. Proverbs 5, my son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may maintain discretion and that your lips may preserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil, but in the end, she is bitter as gall. She is sharp as a double-edged sword. You may not see it coming, but that's what it's going to be like in the end. Her feet go down to death. And I should say that I've actually put in yellow a lot of the words that relate to body parts and where body parts go, because it's all about feet and eyes and ears and hands and mouth, and what we do with our body will determine the condition of our life. So what we do with whether we move that finger to click or double click on an image or go to a website, whether we take our hands and pick up the Word of God, whether we turn off the television with a remote control. The spiritual life is lived with stuff you do with a body. And this is why Romans 6 says that we are to yield our body parts, our body members, to the Holy Spirit of God. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths are crooked, but she knows it not. Notice a couple of things. One is a choice between life and death. Read Deuteronomy 28 through 30. God says, I set before you today life and death. Choose life that you may live. There are blessings that are going to come from right choices. There are curses that are going to come from wrong choices. Her paths are crooked, but she knows it not. You know, there's a lot of people out there. They're not trying to be corrupt. Their life goal is not to entice and seduce other people. Now, there are people who that is their life goal. But there's a lot of people who just don't know it. I look at young girls and I look at the way they dress sometimes and I say, they don't know. They don't understand. But they are becoming a kind of person. They're looking at the teen magazines. They're following the current fashions. And sometimes in Christian homes, they're learning to be seductive in the way they dress and the way they come on to guys. And I just would encourage Christian parents, and yes, even Christian grandparents, to intervene kindly, graciously, but as it's appropriate, certainly it always is for parents to intervene firmly and say, no, you can't leave the house dressed this way. No, you can't dress this way, and here's why you can't dress this way.
And can I throw this in too, Randy?
Please.
Not only with students, but ladies, could we call on you as part of our family in the body of Christ to help us as men? You know, obviously this is a vital area of battle for us, and your modesty in dress is a great gift to us. And could I ask you to help your brothers and dress, you know, because when we look to the world and we follow the world, It's challenging. You come to worship, and sometimes our sisters are dressed in such a manner as just that it's just a fist fight in your mind the whole time to stay focused on Christ. So if you could help us in that way, we'd welcome that.
So think of it as our weakness and helping men, young men and older men, mm-hmm. in the area of weakness. And now, O sons, listen to me and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Take counsel from those in authority. I coached tennis at Barlow High School. We had the district tournament this week. And I can just tell you that the tennis players who ultimately live up to their potential are the ones who listen to instruction, who take coaching. Those who are just convinced that they're just going to do it their way, they do it their way, and they don't do nearly as well as they would if they just listened to those in authority. Keep to a path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house. It's like in real estate. You know, it's location, location, location. Well, where do you put yourself? If you're on a diet and you decide, hey, I'm just going to stop somewhere for a cup of coffee. I think I'll go to Krispy Kreme's. Just have a coffee. Kind of. Not a wise choice. Stay away from that computer. Stay away from the internet access. Get it restricted. Have it removed. Do whatever it takes. If you have a history of problems with it, don't keep putting yourself back at the source of temptation. Run from it. Don't go to it.
And if the cliff off which you would take a look at a nude image or mentally begin to do some things that the Holy Spirit is calling you away from, in this passage and all the way through Proverbs 5, 6, and 7, it talks about do not go near the door of her house. Randy will be in a passage a little bit later about turn from it, don't go there. The way I approach it in terms of my own mental purity is that when a gust of temptation comes, it's not if, when a gust of temptation comes, I want to be so far from the cliff that it can't take me over. So, like we said last week, keep on running from sexual immorality. Your joy will be great. The honor to the Lord will be great, and your family will have a righteous leader.
Hmm. One of the things I say in the purity principle is that God has given us guardrails. And his commandments are guardrails. Now, why do the guardrails exist? Well, have you ever been driving late at night in a mountain pass and you know that if you went off this road, you would plunge to your death? If you've ever been in that situation, and one time Nancy and I were in it and there was thick fog, and it was nerve-wracking to say the least. And so here we are driving along. Now, suppose you're driving along in the fog, on this treacherous mountain, you know, path, road with the cliff down below, and you know that people have gone off that cliff to their destruction, and suppose all of a sudden you bang into something, and you get out of the car with a flashlight, you go and you look, and you realize that you've hit a guardrail, and you've dented your fender, your bumper. You know, you look at it, and you go, I hate that guardrail. Look at what it did. It messed me up. Look what it did to my car. Is that what you say? No. You thank God for that guardrail because that guardrail saved your life. When you look at the commands of God's word and you say, gee, it says don't do this and don't do this and do this, and it's hard and it requires discipline. And you know what? I wish life was just easier. Well, thank God for his commandments. If we follow them, they will protect us from death. They will give us life. And so here's the young man that's told, don't go near the door of her house. And it's not just a physical door. It is a physical door. There are places physically you should not go. But there's also, don't go anywhere near that book. Don't have that book in the home. Again, if you have a history of failure with internet access issues, where in the Bible does it say we must have a computer, we must have internet access, we must have a cell phone, we must have a cell phone with internet access? Where does it say that we must have a television? I mean, can you look up television in your concordance and just see what the Bible says? But you know what it does say we must do? Be sexually pure. It is God's will that you abstain from sexual immorality. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. You don't have to wonder what the will of God is. At the end of your life, you will groan when your flesh and body are spent. You will say, how I hated discipline, how my heart spurned correction. and there'll just be regret. Proverbs 4, the previous chapter, has set this up by saying, above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. If you're going to poison water, you're going to poison a stream, you poison it at its source. But if you're going to clean it up, you're going to clean it up at its source. We're called upon to clean up our hearts by filling our hearts and minds with the things of God, whatsoever things are good and pure, as Philippians 4 says, and putting off, putting away, turning away from those things that corrupt our hearts. Put away perversity from your mouth. Watch, are you laughing at dirty jokes? Not just are you telling dirty jokes, but you laughing at dirty jokes, because laughter is a form of approval. Get away from it. Don't listen to them. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Watch what you say. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Don't look this way. Don't look that way. Not only when you're at the beach, but when you're in a store, when you're in a video place. And there's a lot of people who should not be going to those video places because they don't have the discipline to look away. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. It's your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. There's six commands there that are all saying the same thing. Look at that. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked. 2. Don't walk in the way of evil men. 3. Avoid it. 4. Do not go on it. 5. Turn away from it. 6. Pass on. Are you getting the message? Am I getting the message? It's very clear. Offer your bodies, Romans 12 says, as living sacrifices. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So back to Proverbs 5. I've come to the brink of utter ruin in the midst of the whole assembly. So what does he say to married men? Drink water from your own cistern. Running water from your own well. It's a figure of speech related to marriage. Look to your wife. Should your springs overflow in the streets, your streams of water in the public squares, let them be yours alone. Don't be promiscuous. Don't be unfaithful. Let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. May your fountain be blessed. May you rejoice in the wife of your youth. Who created sex? Was it Satan? No, it was God. She is a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breast fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. Is God anti-sex? No. God created sex. But God created sex as something very, very powerful. So you look at the most powerful things God has created. Fire, water. What would we do without fire and water? We need them. We got to have them. Have you ever seen water out of control? A flood? A tidal wave? It's devastating. The tsunami. Have you ever seen fire out of control, the forest fire? Have you seen somebody's body covered with burns? It's absolutely horrific. So the things that are the best become the worst when taken outside of their God-intended boundaries. Sex is one of the best things God has made, but it becomes the very worst, the most devastating, when taken out of its God-given context. So, be intoxicated with your spouse. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his past. God sees everything and will be held accountable to him. The evil deeds of a wicked man ensnare him. The cords of his sin hold him fast. He will die for lack of discipline, led astray by his own great folly. The right choice is always the smart choice. The wrong choice is always the stupid choice. So in Proverbs 6, skipping in the middle of the chapter, it says in verse 20, my son, keep your father's commands. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck. Take the commands of the Word of God. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. It reminds me of Deuteronomy 6, where it commands parents to not only inscribe or engrave on the hearts of your children the Word of God, but as you rise in the morning, as you go to bed at night, and on the way throughout the day, talk of the principles, the truths of God's word. Model it. You know, our children will sometimes not listen to us, but they will seldom fail to imitate us. And if you're trying to, you think you're trying to cultivate some sense of purity in the home, but dad or mom, you're sitting there watching stuff on television that feeds impurity. The number of homes where parents who don't want their girls to become pregnant or their boys to become sexually active, and yet they're watching programs like Desperate Housewives and Grey's Anatomy, and even old reruns of things like Friends and Seinfeld, and you, some of the things that have sexually explicit jokes and allusions and situations. And you say, whoa, what's wrong with those things? Well, you know what? If you don't know what's wrong with those things, it's because you've become desensitized to the content of what you're watching. But those things are feeding immorality. Don't try to cultivate a sense of morality in a home where you're bringing immorality into that home and you're modeling it. And the kids' eyes see where dad looking at the cheerleaders, dad looking at the blazer dancers, dad looking at, and what goes through a man's mind. Well, that's, you're training your children to think in those sexualized terms. So I would suggest that many of us need to go to our children, confess and repent and say, I'm sorry, we are not going to be watching these things in the home anymore because they're not pleasing to God and they're not good for you. And we want to protect you, and we need to guard our hearts as well as yours.
You know, Randy, a few years ago, Theda and I were watching something. Joy was still in the home. And she came in, and we quickly changed the channel. And she respectfully says, can you help me understand this? Okay for you, not okay for these. And we asked her forgiveness and repented.
That's exactly the right response. And you know what? That models something. That models a sense of admitting that you're wrong and asking for forgiveness, and let's start with a clean slate. And you know what? It's not just that when you get this junk out of your home that you no longer have that negative stuff coming in. It's now that you've got time on your hands. And you can actually take that time now and get into the Word of God and cultivate a superior pleasure. Read great Christian books. Listen to the Folks on the Family radio theater stuff. Listen, I mean, great stories. Read books as a family. Cultivate higher pleasures. Don't be satisfied with the lesser things of this world that distract us from the Christian life. These commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light. The corrections of discipline are the way to life, keeping you from the immoral woman, from the smooth tongue of the wayward wife. Do not lust in your heart after her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes. For the prostitute reduces you to a loaf of bread, and the adulteress preys upon your life. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? What's the answer to that question? No. Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? No. So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. How many exceptions? None. And you know what? Jesus says it's mental adultery to look at a woman with lust, and that's not going to go, that form of adultery isn't going to go unpunished either. Be quick to confess and repent and turn your eyes. A man who commits adultery lacks judgment. Whoever does so, you would think it would say, whoever does so displeases God. Well, true, but that's not what it says. Whoever does so destroys himself. We hurt ourselves. Blows and disgrace are his lot, and his shame will never be wiped away. Long-term consequences. The purity principle can be stated this way. Purity is always smart. Impurity is always stupid. Purity always helps us. Impurity always hurts us. My book, The Purity Principle, is available to you today. Feel free to pick up a copy.
At each exit as you go out, you'll see these available. And Randy's organization has made these available for you.
Read it together as a family. Use it in your home. Think through its principles. One of the things that does is to challenge us to be way more radical. You think it's radical, the idea that you might, in your case, if you don't have victory over it, that you might need to not have cable TV, or that you might need to remove a television or television reception from your home and only choose certain videos that you will watch or whatever it is. You think that's radical, the idea of getting rid of internet access if your family's not able to handle it well? No, here's what's radical. It's when Jesus says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Now, that is radical. Okay? I mean, dealing with media in a family and restricting yourself, that is not radical. And even if it is, God calls us to it. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl, Job says. I've stored up your word in my heart that I might sin against you. How about family memorization of scriptures related to purity? How about posting prominently memory verses related to purity in your home? Proverbs 7, my son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. They will keep you from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words. I saw a youth who lacked judgment. And you know what? A lot of young people do lack judgment. You know, that's part of being young. And they need guidance from parents to help them. Proverbs says a companion of fools becomes foolish. A companion of the wise becomes wise. Watch the peer relationships of your children. It is your responsibility who your children are spending time with. You say, well, what? I can't help that. I can't help what my children are watching. I can't help what they're accessing on their cell phone. You can even help whether they have cell phones or not. And I'm not saying it's always wrong for a kid to have a cell phone, but there better be some things in place to guard and protect. And certainly younger and younger and younger kids having cell phones and certainly having ones that have internet access. Again, I coach high school boys, and you know, I know what's going on. The ones that have internet access, and there's a couple of them together and like that, and look at what they're looking at, and the text they're going back and forth, and the pictures and the showing of this kind of stuff. You know what? We as Christian parents will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for our parenting and for how much we have guarded our children from immorality. And let me just say this, and I said something like this before, and I remember one woman in particular that was very, very offended at, but I just want to say that if you are allowing your boy or your girl in your home to have unrestricted internet access where it's not out there, where everybody can see it or where they can use it when you're gone, you may as well buy hundreds of pornographic magazines and put it in their bedrooms and then say to them, don't ever look at these. Do you think that's an unfair analogy? Oh no, the difference is actually it's much easier to get far more than hundreds of pornographic magazines simply by accessing them online. You say, and this woman was really angry at me because she said, I trust my son. You know what I thought? And I won't tell you what I said, but what I thought was, and said something similar to it, is really, you trust your son. You trust your son to what? Pilot the space shuttle? Do you trust your son to play frisbee on the roof? Do you trust your son to run out on the freeway, dodging in and out of cars? That's not trust. I would respectfully say that is child abuse, to allow your children access to those things. Don't do it. Don't be conformed to this world. Just because everybody else does it doesn't mean you should do it. And in the body of Christ, could we raise the standards for each other? Could we be able to trust one another that when your child or grandchild goes into somebody else's home in the church, the body of Christ, they're not going to be watching inappropriate movies and have internet access to things that could scar them? Is that an unreasonable thing to ask? I don't think it is. Out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute with crafty intent. Notice he's going to the wrong place at the wrong time. He's going in the direction of her house. He's going where he should not go. He's going at the wrong time of day. Notice it doesn't say she is a prostitute. It says she's dressed like a prostitute. To be dressed like a prostitute is to make yourself sexually alluring to men who are not your husband or women who are not your wife. Flee from sexual immorality. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, run from it. Get away from it. Don't stay near. At every corner she lurks in the squares, and metaphorically speaking, every billboard, everywhere you look, so you've got to look a different direction. She says, I looked for you, I found you, I perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deep of love to the morning. Doesn't it sound great? Yeah, you know what? Chocolate-covered rat poison looks great. And even the first bite really tastes great. And then the effects kick in. My husband's not at home. He's gone on a long journey. With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. There's no fear of God before his eyes, Psalm 36 says. In his own eyes, he flatters himself too much to detect or hate his sin. And back to Proverbs all at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Like Buzzy, the ox that was led to the slaughter. Dale and Joyce Allen, and Allen telling that story last week. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. You don't want to be an ox led to the slaughter. You don't want to be stupid. But that's what you're being. That's what I'm being whenever I choose the path of the impure thought or the impure direction to my life. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray to her paths. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. And as we wrap it up, just think of these passages. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. And listen to Ephesians 5. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality. Know who you are, the spotless bride of Christ. You have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. There shouldn't be even a hint of sexual immorality among us or of any kind of impurity, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, not over the internet, not in a text message, not in an IM, not in a message over your phone or over any source that you have, not on videos, not on what you watch on television. These are out of place. So ask yourself, the sitcom, the drama, the soap opera, the movie, the reality TV, the novel, the website, does it contain even a hint of sexual immorality? Any kind of impurity, obscenity, foolish talk, coarse jesting, then, according to God's revealed word, it is improper for God's holy people, and it is out of place. So, end on this. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, think about such things. Fill your heart with these things. Fill your home with these things, and watch God bless you. I know it isn't easy. I know it's a battle. As a father who raised two daughters, when I read these statistics of girls exposing themselves under pressure from boys and these pictures going around, it breaks my heart. I think of my little girls. I think of what could have happened in their lives. And I think of my grandsons growing up 5 years and under in this culture. And I thank God for their parents who are doing what they can do to prevent these things and to cultivate the love of God and the purity of Christ in families. I would just beg you, protect your own life, protect your children, protect your grandchildren, and watch the blessings and rewards of purity in your life and in their lives.